Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending the nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went all around Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I mentioned in the introduction, this past September, Pope Francis released an apostolic letter where he declared that the third Sunday of ordinary time would be the Sunday of the Word of God. He said that this was an opportunity for us to celebrate the great gift that sacred scripture is to us and all Christian believers. In that apostolic letter, he wrote, "The journey that the risen Lord makes with his disciples of Emmaus ended with a meal. They sat down at table. Jesus takes the bread, blesses and breaks it, and offers it to them. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." The Pope goes on to write, "This scene clearly demonstrates the unbreakable bond between sacred scripture and the Eucharist. As the Second Vatican Council teaches, the Church has always venerated the divine scripture as she has venerated the Lord's body, in that she never ceases, above all in the sacred liturgy, to partake of the bread of life and to offer it to the faithful from the one table of the Word of God and the body of Christ. Whenever we come together to celebrate Mass, there are two parts to it. The liturgy of the Word, which occurs right here at the Ambo, and the liturgy of the Eucharist, which of course occurs at the altar." And the Pope points out quite correctly that Mass after Mass, we first are fed by the Word of God before we are fed by the body of Christ. The Pope goes on to talk about that the Bible is not a collection of history books or a chronicle, but it is aimed entirely at the integral salvation of the person. The best way to explain that is, everything that God wants us to know in order to be saved is in the Bible. Sacred Scripture contains the whole truth that God wanted to impart to us. Now, there's a comedian who I enjoy listening to. At times she can be irreverent. I will acknowledge that. But one of her bits, she said that someone shared a scripture passage with her, and she said, "Well, hold on a minute. I grew up Catholic. We don't read the Bible. We read the bulletin." Because, she said, it's a lot more important to find out who died and when the next potluck supper is. And there was some truth to that, I think, in years past. But I think that the church's focus on sacred scripture, as well as the Bible studies that are offered, has made a big difference. But even I, as I was getting ready to go off to seminary, I was given a gift. And it was this Bible. This Bible, as I glance through it, there's all kinds of bookmarks. There's a card up front. And what it lists is a bunch of readings that I've used over the years. During my time as a seminarian, I gave many, many high school retreats. And so all the scripture passages that I would share at those retreats are written down here. As well as after I was a priest, I gave talks on reconciliation and many times was preaching those straight out of this Bible. But ultimately, I think we all have Bible verses that mean something to us. And one of the most powerful verses for me, because it's something that I needed to know at that time in my life, came from Isaiah in chapter 43. "It is I who wipe out for your own sake your offenses, your sins I remember no more." I needed to hear at that time of my life that God didn't just forgive my sins, He would forget them. To forgive and forget, that is the kind of love that God had for me and for us all. The Pope goes on to write that sacred scripture accomplishes its prophetic work, above all, in those who listen to it. It proves both sweet and bitter. And then the Pope quotes two Bible verses. The first one from the prophet Ezekiel, the second one from John the Evangelist, as he wrote in the book of Revelations. And these verses have always puzzled me. From Ezekiel, after he had eaten the scroll of the book, he says, "It was in my mouth as sweet as honey." And then John the Evangelist as well echoes Ezekiel's experience of eating the scroll. But he adds, "It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter." The Pope goes on to say that the sweetness of God's word leads us to share it with all of those whom we encounter in this life and to proclaim the sure hope it contains. But then he goes on to say, its bitterness in turn often comes from our realization of how difficult it is to live that word consistently, or our own personal experience of seeing it rejected as meaningless for life. So the Pope is mentioning two things that describes the bitterness of the Word of God. The first is how often we feel in our life that we are falling short of the expectations that God has spelled out in this book for His adopted sons and daughters. And the second reason is when we look upon a world that seems to reject everything that is in this Bible and instead seeks the idols of this world. I think that's an important thing for us to reflect upon. Ultimately, the church understands that the good news of Jesus Christ is so important that it set up a cycle of readings for us for Sunday Masses, a 3-year cycle. So in cycle A, which we are in right now, we hear from Matthew's Gospel. In cycle B, next year, we will hear from Mark's gospel. In cycle C, the year following, we will hear from the gospel according to Luke. John's gospel is used throughout the season, the Easter season. And we also hear from John's gospel as well in cycle B, because Mark's gospel is so much shorter. But just by regularly attending Sunday Mass, just by regularly attending Sunday Mass over a 3-year period of time, you are hearing nearly 90% of the good news of Jesus Christ as presented in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So important, and John, so important is that for us to hear and for us to be touched by, that the church gives us virtually all of the Gospels just by attending our Sunday Masses. My dear friends, the gift of the Bible, of sacred scripture, is truly a gift. God wanted to reveal himself to us. God wanted to explain to us his expectations for us, and most especially, God wants us to be saved. And he gave us everything we need in order to do just that in this book. All we have to do is accept this gift, make it a part of our lives, and give thanks to God, our Heavenly Father, to Jesus, whose word we just heard of, and of course to the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts. Our triune God loves us and one day wants to welcome us for all eternity into heaven.